Well, Glory, let me give you a word. So get your Bibles out. Go to 1 Chronicles, Old Testament, 28. You know, last week and then Sunday, I was talking about the enemy coming in and stealing from us. Stealing joy, stealing peace. And what he's really doing is he's stealing us from the presence of God. Now, all of y'all know, you can come into church here tonight and you can worship God with all your heart and focus your attention on Him and worship. And man, God just blesses us, right? But then you also know that you can come in here, same service, and have thoughts about problems or thoughts of that you're dealing with anger, thoughts of, you know, whatever's going on, or just thoughts, or you can't control your thoughts and you're just everywhere. And you can miss it. You can totally, you know, I mean, maybe you enjoyed some music, but you missed it. You walk out of here the same as when you came in. Well, that's the enemy stealing from us. No matter what's happening, how you cut it, how you look at it, that's just simply the enemy stealing from us. And, let me just say it real simple. If you want to walk with God, you want to deepen your relationship with the Lord, the first thing you've got to learn to do is discipline your mind. And it's one of the harder things to do. It's probably easier to get off of cocaine than it is to get your mind shut up. You know, I mean, I've never been addicted to cocaine, but I'm just saying, you know, to get your mind to be quiet and to be still before the Lord and to wait on the Lord. I mean, you know, you've got to discipline your mind. You've got to, your spirit man has to rise up on the inside of you, and you have to tell your brain, shut up. And sometimes that's not easy. And what I, you know, have learned in life is that it's just like anything. It's nothing but exercise to... First, you got your mind to be quiet for a minute. And then you just practiced that minute, and you stayed that minute. And then you got your mind to shut up for 2 minutes. And then it was 5, and then it was 10. You know, you got to where you could sit there and keep your focus on the Lord without getting focused on something else until you just kept doing it, until you just got better at it and better at it. I mean, that's real simple. That could be the message. I could just tell you right now. Y'all need to go home, practice that. Amen. God bless you. Let's go. Right? But that would be too easy. So I want to give you some word because you got to have word to back all this up. So in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, it's some of the last words that David spoke to Solomon, his son. And he says, "As for you, my son, know the Lord your Father." Oh, excuse me. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts. He understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." David put it real simple to Solomon. Basically, he told him what I just told you in a better way. He said, if you got a willing heart, or a loyal heart and a willing mind, a loyal heart and a willing mind, then there's nothing that can stop you in life. If your heart's really loyal to the Lord, and how do you know if it's loyal to the Lord? Well, who do you turn to first? Are you going to not speak up for Him when He's telling you to speak? You know, are you going to do what you know is pleasing to Him? You're going to do the right thing, you know? But then it says, you know, a loyal heart and a willing mind. The first thing you got to do to get the thief from, to keep the thief from stealing to you, is you've got to get your mind renewed and cleansed and washed and over in the Lord's camp. And I think I said this Sunday, I don't know when I said it, but I know I've said it, that I've just gotten to the place in life that I don't want to waste any emotional energy fighting stupid battles in my mind that aren't really going to make a hill of beans one way or the other. And I'm tired of fighting battles that there was really no battle. That the enemy just stirred something up and threw something out there and got me all stirred up and flustered over nothing. And it ended up, it was just nothing. It wasn't there. The worry, the anxiety over things that you got to play in, what if? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if they do that? Well, what if this took place? Well, what if that? And you get to doing all that, and you just tear your all your thoughts, and you just end up with nothing but anxiety and worry and stress upon yourself. And so, it's just not worth it. You know, the thief, he comes in, the Bible says, to kill, steal, and to destroy. But the enemy's not going to come against you, especially you guys here tonight, the solid group that comes on a Wednesday night. He's not going to come against you and be tempting you to go rob a liquor store. Right? I mean, that's not going to be... he's not tempting you to come up with a Ponzi scheme. Most of us don't know how to work the internet good enough to do that. But I mean, you know, he's not, you see what I'm saying? He's not going to tempt you with those things. But he is going to steal from us in our thought life, in our walk, our everyday walk of how much time and energy do we spend on thoughts that are just his tactic to steal from us. They're not anything. And so David said to Solomon, he said, look, man, you got to get control of two things, your heart and your mind. And if you do that, the enemy's not going to steal from you. Right? Okay, so I was reading over, and I don't know if I want to get into it, just read it all to you, but you can go read the story in 1 Samuel 24. I'll just tell it to you, and you can go read it for your own time, where Saul's chasing David. And if you go read the whole story, you know, Saul knew he messed up. Saul had, you know, he did wrong. But he just was possessed with thinking about David. So much so that he was forgetting everything in his kingdom, everything he could have been doing as a king, everything he could have been doing blessing-wise or anything else. He was just possessed in his mind with trying to get rid of David. And you remember he goes and David was hidden in the cave and Saul came and he was asleep at the front of the cave. And then David went up and cut the bottom of his jacket off or his robe off or, you know, however you look at that and cut it off and he had it, and then David, what is it about? It says right there that David got to feeling bad about it, that he had touched the Lord's anointed. Now, let me find that and read that. Verse 6. He says, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. His enemy, the guy that's trying to kill him, was right there in his grasp. All he had to do was thrust in the spear, and it was all over with. But David said, no, no, no. There was something in his heart and in his mind that said, I can't do that because he's the Lord's anointing, and I can't go against God. He was looking at the bigger picture. Everyone else was looking at the immediate thing, telling him, see, and this is where you got to be careful. Because you can get two people telling you God's telling you something, and you better make sure that you know what God's telling you, because his men are sitting there saying, look, the Lord's delivered Saul into your hand today. So they're saying, yea, hey, thus saith the Lord, God hath delivered thee, kill Saul. So I'm always concerned and really cautious about prophecies and stuff. I want to really check them out with the word and really make sure that's what God's saying to me. And really, somebody gives me a word, it's still subject to, you know, whatever, because there's a whole bunch of guys telling him, this is God speaking. So God has delivered him to your hand. And it would have been so easy for David to have fallen in that and said, it is. Look, oh my gosh. All of his guys are there saying, yeah, go get it. When David said, no, wait a minute, let me think about this. Because his heart was loyal. He said, man, I can't strike the Lord's anointed unless God's taking him out, because then I'm going to be breaking covenant with God, and that wouldn't work right. And so he went through this whole process because his heart was right. See, that's the key. If your heart's right, the devil can't steal from you. But he took time, the willing mind, to think on, okay, well, what is God's word? What is God's will? What would line up with the word? That's why, man, church, I'm telling you, there's nothing more valuable in life than knowing what this says right here in the Bible. Because if you don't know what it says right here, then you can get lied to. Even if you know what it says and you're not careful, you can get lied to. Because it's real easy for people to stand up and say, yeah, well, look, that's the Lord. And it does look like it. Because, I mean, it was pretty obvious. There's Saul laying at the front of the deal. If he cut the end of his robe off, he definitely could have stuck him. Right? And then he'd have been king, and he wouldn't have had to go through the rest of all things he went through. So, now go over to the book of 2 Corinthians 10. Now, you know, this may be familiar to you. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10:3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons," okay, just note that, the weapons, you have weapons. You have weapons. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or they're not fleshly, or, you know, I guess you could say for him in those days, swords and spears. "But they're mighty." Okay, so we have mighty weapons, right? Everybody say we have mighty weapons in God. All right? Now, what are those mighty weapons used for? For pulling down strongholds. Now, I got to tell y'all this, and y'all, you know, I mean, if y'all want to throw tomatoes at me, you know, or eggs, we always have eggs around here, you know, just throw them. But, man, I don't want to get in trouble over this, but I'm going to say it. I don't mean it ugly. I don't mean it wrong. I don't mean it, you know, because you always got to imagine everything does fit. But I believe a lot of Christians have wasted a lot of time praying to pull down strongholds when they should have been looking in their own mind. I believe a lot of effort goes up because it's always easier to pray and look at something else than to look inside. It's always easier. Oh, so I tell you, that's what's wrong. This whole place it's this because of that. And, you know, it's always easier to get the attention off somewhere else than to just go home and sit in your chair and say, you know, Lord, I've been thinking today, and, you know, I'm crazy. I have some crazy thinking, Lord. Okay. So, but we have mighty weapons. So Christians do have mighty weapons. But they're mighty weapons in God. Now, I'm not saying intercessory prayer is not right. Don't take that from what I said. Okay. I don't think that's ever wrong dealing with, you know, principalities and powers. But tonight's message is about our own brain, our own thoughts. Okay? So he says, you do have mighty weapons in God for pulling down strongholds. Okay, let's just put this all together. Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, casting down arguments, where are those arguments taking place? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, where is that taking place? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ is taking place in your mind, right? So do you reckon the strongholds might be in your own brain, your own mind? If everything he talked about there was talking about your thought life, the strongholds he's talking about that are mighty in God, they're for pulling down the strongholds within your own mind. Having the loyal heart and the willing mind. Right? So my point is that we have mighty weapons, and those mighty weapons are for pulling down strongholds, and the strongholds, the place of strongholds, is the thought life. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the thief is coming to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's coming, just think about this, kill, steal, and destroy. Pretty major stuff. And he's going to kill, steal, and destroy. His main tactic is not to, you know, cause a she-bear to come out and eat you. His main way he's going to kill, steal, and destroy from you is to get into your thought life, to get you thinking wrong, doing wrong, acting wrong, so that then you would basically destroy yourself. If he can keep you angry all the time and keep you in turmoil all the time, you're going to miss joy, you're going to miss peace, and you're going to miss the direction of the Lord because you're over here angry looking at it. See, church, that's why freedom prayer is working so amazing, is because people are hearing the voice of God. Those strongholds are being broken that are within our own mind and our heart, our own belief system are being broken. Our paradigms are being broken. So that then we can have freedom to not be stolen from. Years ago, a lot of years ago, Darcy, she's what, 35? And she was just a little girl. And I was having to go to a stock show, the ranch was showing animals, and I had to go to the stock show and take care of them. And so I was going to be gone for a few days, and I said to her, I said, what do you want me to bring you home? And she just looked up at me, these big old eyes, and she says, a big diamond, Daddy. So I was like, oh, okay, that's a tall order. And so we left, and, you know, we went down there, and so we're at the stock show in San Antonio or Houston, I don't remember where it was. But anyway, and so there was a break, and I was walking down through the aisles of all the stuff, and I just looked over there, and there was this person selling these big, giant, I guess, I don't know if they'd call them crystals or what they really were, but they looked just like giant diamonds, you know, all cut, you know, and everything. I said, oh my gosh, there's the giant diamond. I mean, is Daddy going to score on this one? I'm bringing my daughter home a big diamond, you know? And so I went over there and, you know, bought the thing, and I had it. And so I gave it to her, and, you know, forever she had it around the house and whatever, this big old thing. And then one day I was praying, and because I got that thing, I got to looking at it, and it was just, you know, it was just cut glass, I imagine is what it was, you know. But, you know, it's all cut, you know, in all the different angles. And, you know, you could get it up and you could put it in the light, you know, and it'd shine through and make a little rainbow and all that kind of stuff like that. But, you know, I got to looking at it, and I would stare at it and looking at it, you know, and there was no way to see through it. Okay, because there was prisms. And it just hit me one day. I was praying, and I saw that thing, and the Lord had said to me, that's why I was looking at things in life, through a prism. As I'm trying to look and say, oh, this is where I'm going. My sight's really going over here. I'm not going this way because it's the light's being refracted over here, and I'm really seeing this over here. And that's what happens with strongholds. When strongholds get up in our lives and into our thought life, we think we're thinking straight, but we're really not, because we're thinking crooked. But we think it's straight because if it's crooked, it's all crooked. Nick will appreciate this. I was putting up some molding today, and And the corner of this room is out. It's out. It was like 3/8 of an inch out over 10 feet from the bottom to the top. And so the guys were asking, they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh my gosh, you want to do this? I said, what do you mean, what are we going to do? It's a simple fix. We stay with the crooked. We ain't going to try to fix it now. Just make everything tilt over. And it's all going to be crooked because you can't see it when it's all crooked. I said, just don't put a straight piece up on the wall. Just let it all be crooked. Nobody will notice 3/8 of an inch in 10 foot. And you can't see it. I promise you, you cannot see it. But if you would take and put a straight board in that deal, you would automatically, your eye would see that that one's straight and that one's crooked. Or you would have to try to figure out which one's crooked. But if they're both crooked, nobody in the world can ever tell it. So where does the conflict come? And somewhere in your life, a board straight. God straightens something up in your life and a board straight. And then all of a sudden you know, start to notice, wait a minute, that sucker's crooked. That's what happens to you. And that's what you notice is the stronghold. Oh my gosh, we got to fix that board. Now, I can't straighten it out. You know what I'm saying? I can't go back and fix it, but God can. Thank God he can fix it and he can make it straight. But you got to notice it. You got to notice it. You've got to be aware enough to look up there and see is that thing straight or not. Now, we probably need to burn this message tonight. I don't want the homeowner to find out that I'm preaching about a crooked wall. So we'll all vote, don't tell anybody. Yeah, it was a different place. This is way back when. Far, far away. In another land. But you understand what I'm saying to you. And what the thief comes in and wants to steal from us is that he wants to, you know, get over there and get that. He wants to get it crooked. He just wants to get it a little off. So that's okay, though. We have mighty weapons. Okay, we have mighty weapons for the pulling down of strongholds, for the casting down of imaginations, for the against everything. And what is it? Jesus told us. He said, there's only one thing that'll set you free. And that's truth. There's only one thing that will set you free is truth. And the only way you're going to get truth is right here. And when you get this truth, you start getting right, the board straight, and you start getting everything lined up, and then all of a sudden, you're like, wow. And then you just start to line them up. Move it back, move it back, move it back. And then everything's straight. And then there's freedom. And then there's victory. And then you're not being stolen from. It comes, starts out with that loyal heart and a willing mind. Now, the good news is it doesn't take God long to correct it if you're willing. But if you're not willing, you keep going through the same motions over and over again, and you keep saying, why do I keep ending up here? Why do I keep ending up here? Well, you end up there because, you know, not really willing. Because it does take work. It's not just magic pixie dust. Like I said, if I had some, I'd be throwing it out everywhere. But it does take work. It does take effort. It does take sitting down and knowing and disciplining yourself and reading the word and disciplining your mind and controlling your thoughts. And, you know, it does take that. And you know something I want to tell y'all? Just like I've told y'all about developing habits, you know, it takes 21 days to make a good habit, but it only takes 3 days to form a bad habit. Well, the same thing is with discipline your mind. You can just get into the greatest prayer life. You can just get yourself built up. And man, you can just pray and an hour goes by. And man, you hadn't even thought anything other than God. You're just basking in his glory. And then you go for a while not doing it, and you go right back to the dogs, man. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how this worthless piece of flesh that we're stuck in doesn't want to cooperate in any form or fashion. That it works against us at every turn. I just hope that when I get my new body, of course, I think he's going to use part of the old body, but I hope it doesn't. I hope my old body just falls to the ground. I can just kick that sucker all over the place when I get my new body, when I get to heaven. Jerk it around. Skin it, tan it, put it on the wall or something. You know, I'm telling you. Ridiculous. Uncooperative thing. So anyway. So, just an exercise for you. You know? Wherever you are in life, start and keep building. Okay? Get that willing heart and a loyal mind. I mean, a loyal heart and a willing mind. And, you know, just start where you're at. That's the glory about it. The weapons of God are mighty. So just start right where you're at. Start destroying and defeating things that are right there. Just keep on going. Amen? Till you got it all lined up, it's all straight. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. That's it. Got to remind us, man, I'm telling you. We get defeated in those little areas all the time. Get tripped up. Amen? Well, if you need an offering, envelope, Bill will get you one. Don't forget, men, tomorrow night, 6:30, Men's Fellowship. Over here at the Fellowship Hall, so all men invited, bring something sweet. Is there anything else we need to announce? What's Sunday? Sunday's not the first. Is Sunday the first? Sunday's Communion Sunday? Wow. Wow, May 1st. I didn't even get started in 16. I'm just now having to not think about it when I write it on a check. Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. All right, well, put your hand on your offering. Father, I just thank you for blessing us exceedingly abundant beyond we can even think or ask. I thank you, Lord, for businesses being blessed. It's wild and crazy things happening in people's lives that everywhere we turn to the left and the right. Lord, we just see abundance pouring in. And Lord, I just set my agreement with everybody tonight that, Lord, that your hand is upon their lives and the blessings of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stand up. Grab that person's hand. Father, I just declare tonight that your hand of blessing is upon us. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you are to us. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I just thank you most of all that we are people who have loyal hearts and a willing mind. And I declare the thief is not going to steal from us. The abundant life is on us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.